At this time, we will introduce our speaker, Sister Cummings. She's a real hero in this church, this congregation. She's an altar worker, Sunday school teacher, and she's our choir director, and I believe she's been choir director for 35 years. Is that correct? 35 years. And she's a mother in Zion, a real warrior of the cross, and a true pillar in the Church of God. And it's my high honor and distinct privilege to introduce to you Sister Almeda Cummings.
I'm going to tell you what, I am scared to death. Haven't done this for a while. You do other things that you get used to that nervousness, and I got a new one here tonight. And especially when Sister Sherry, who is my daughter, in case you don't know that, asked me to tell about my life. And that's even harder than just doing a lesson. I kept saying, what can I use for a title? And I had a couple of different things come to me. One would be, all the way my Savior leads me. And the other one would be, I recommend the Lord. As an old lady, I'm an old lady. When I tell you what year I was born, you'll say, woo, that was way back yonder. As an old lady. But I was once young. Can you believe that? I was once young too. And my desire tonight, and I want to pray for a start, is I want to glorify God because the good things have come from the Lord. And I want to be a help to you. I tell my Sunday school girls, and I didn't get you boys. I've had a bunch of you girls. But I didn't have the boys. But I've told them many, many times. That what I've learned, I'll tell you, even if it embarrasses you, me about, I'll tell you my shortcomings to try to help you see what I have learned by it. Because if there's one thing I have a burden for, is for the children of the church. I said, put that on my tombstone. Why do we lose our young people? That is the burden of my heart. Let's pray. Father, I can do nothing without you. And you know, I've been shaking all day. And I've been saying, Lord, I just want to glorify you. You have been so very good to me. If you want a good life, you live it for Jesus. There's the good life. And I want to glorify you. And I want to help these precious young people. As I look at them and I think of what lays ahead for them, I would spare them all the hard places if I could. I would show them every place that would help them if I could. So help us tonight. Amen. I hope I'm not going to run over. I'm going to be long-winded, but when you're nervous, sometimes you go faster. I was born March 12th, 1944. I told you, that's a long time ago. Before any of you were thought of, for sure. And I want to start with saying I owe my wonderful foundation to my Christian parents. I had a godly father and mother, and I brought a few pictures. Sometimes that helps us relate a little bit. I had a godly father and mother who lived for God. They were what we would, I don't know, can you guys see it there? Would it be better if I put it up? Probably better not put scotch tape up on there, though, huh? It won't hurt it? Okay. So I'm not used to working here. So I had a godly father and mother. Here's your tape. Go ahead. That wasn't my RV vehicle. That was our home. I was brought up in that home. And you'll see how old Sister Cummings really is. I had godly parents who lived for God, preached the my dad was a minister, and I could tell you that's another whole story. That'd take another half hour, is how God brought my mother and father together. But my dad was an evangelist, but the Dishman's like an evangelist. Some of you don't know what evangelist is. Instead of being a pastor, they travel around and hold revival meetings. Okay, that was my dad. You'll hear Brother Stegmaier talk about my mom and dad a lot. He remembers them. So, Dad pastored a few places, but really his burden was evangelistic work. I got saved, I'll say the first time I went to the altar, because I'm going to tell you I was tender-hearted, and I think it's awesome when you're tender-hearted. You can't wear the altar out. Just when you need to pray, go pray. Because I'd go to the altar, and then in the middle of the night, if I got troubled about something, I'd go into Mom and Dad's bedroom, and I'd say, Mom and Dad, would you please pray with me? I think I might have done something wrong. And I'm glad for that tender heart, because God was able to work with that. I got saved first time. I'd say the first time I went to the altar when I was 6 years old. And you know, as long ago as that was, because I'm an old lady, I still remember how God dealt with me. And I felt like I was the worst sinner in that church. I can't remember where it was. I don't even know who the member of the pastor. Dad was probably the evangelist. But I thought, I am the worst sinner here tonight. I still remember how God dealt with me with that conviction. And you want to be aware. When God deals with you, you want to move. Because see, here's what happens. Here's what happens when God calls you. He loves us. He wants all to be saved. And what a privilege when he calls you to him. And if you don't listen, you get harder of hearing. And it's harder to hear him. I started singing with my mom and dad. You can see here, my dad played the guitar. I started singing. That was me when I was a little girl. I started singing with mom and dad when I was about 5 or 6 years old. I remember that we had a little stool about this high that I stood on and sang, and we used to joke in later years because I outgrew my mother. She was a little shrimp, and I took after my dad's side. And so we said, Mom needs the stool now instead of me. That's what we used to say. I want to stress how important godly parents are. If you have godly parents who are teaching you right and leading you in the right manner, you need to thank God for that all the time. And there's the things that my parents taught me. One of them was how to pray. We prayed all the time. We prayed in the car. We prayed about parking places. We prayed about everything. And I learned, and my kids will say, Mom, you just automatically say, let's pray. I said, well, I was taught that. Because that's the answer. You know, God didn't make us smart enough to take care of ourselves. We have a God, and we need him. We need his divine direction. If you try to guide your own life, you are guaranteed mess up. Because God didn't make you. He made you to operate. I think about how, and I could tell you a funny story about that. Cars are made to run on gas, diesel. And I had a vehicle that I put diesel in once that wasn't supposed to have diesel. And guess what? We didn't go very far. God made us to run on holiness, to live for him. And when we don't, you're not going to operate. You want to wonder why everything's going wrong? Why you feel mixed up? It's because you're not letting God be in charge of your life. And I said, the other thing I was going to say that could be a title is, I recommend the Lord. I recommend the Lord. He will give you the best life going. All right. I learned about how to pray, how we trusted God for healing. My mom and dad lived by faith. I thought about how when my dad started preaching, he felt called to go out and work for God. No pay promised. By faith. Yeah. He'd go hold a meeting. They'd take an offering. And dad started out with doing the singing with an evangelist. Then he preached later. And it's whatever you got in the offering. And if there was a minister and music, then you had to share it. And you know, all those years I grew up, I never knew we were poor, because God supplied our needs. He supplied our needs. Always supplied our needs. Now, my dad was affiliated with what's called the Church of God movement. And they had compromised you. If you've been around the Church of God very long, you've heard that preached. But my dad did not compromise. How important it is to have a good church and a good youth group and leaders. And if you've got that, you are of all people most blessed. most blessed. I feel like I always had a heart that wanted to please God. But you know what? It takes more than the desire. You're going to have to put the desire in action. And I had some influences. When I look back on my life now, I think, I'm glad God didn't take me during that time, because I don't feel like I was doing so good back then. But God, you know, I think about how the song's "All the Way the Savior Leads Us." He sees our heart. He sees if you want to live for Him, and He will work with you. I have been amazed at His awesome patience to work with us. Because He doesn't want, when He says He wants none to perish, that is a big statement. He wants all to be saved. That don't mean He's going to let us by with wrong. He doesn't do that. Okay, I look back and I'll say, when I was in the sixth grade, and I'm sure some of you in here is in the sixth grade, we moved to Tennessee. And first of all, my dad, they didn't have homeschooling back then, but we had by correspondence. And so while we were traveling here in the trailer, we'd get this by mail. Dad would help me with it. So the first 3 years of school, I had school by correspondence. When I was ready for the fourth grade and I had a brother and he was ready for the first grade, then Mom and Dad took a pastorate in North Carolina when I was ready for the fourth grade. And Dad pastored in Granite Falls, North Carolina. He pastored several different places. I try not to get on all that because I'm worried about taking too long. All right, so any of you in here in the sixth grade? Anybody in here in the sixth grade? All right. Seven? Eight? Oh, you're all out of school, right? I don't think so. All right, so at the time, this time that we moved to Tennessee, Dad he traveled and did the evangelistic work, and Mom stayed home there with us in Tennessee. But the church there was very compromised. And I'm telling you how important it is to have a good church. Amen. And I was in some bad places a couple different times. At that point in time, and then after I married Brother Conger, I'm running ahead. I'm going to say right here, I didn't have any Christian. Oh, there were some young people at church, but they were not really true Christians. I didn't have any good Christian friends. I had wrong friends, and they can influence you. You might think you're stronger than these friends, but I'm going to tell you, the wrong friends can influence you. And during that time, I didn't feel like I did very good during that time, and how I feel like God was merciful, and I know He protected me. I could have messed up my life royal during that time. But God, and my dear mama, I'm sure, was on her knees praying for me. When I was a sophomore, we moved to Kansas, where my dad pastored out there. And I feel like that's where I began to grow spiritually. We had a good congregation there. My dad held a tighter standard of dress than those in the Church of God that we were associated with. And I'm so thankful he did. I met Brother Conger there. And a lot of you probably don't even remember Brother Conger. That would be my children's father. So there's me with my six children. So here's Sister Sherry, Sister Tammy, my son Andy, Elena, here's Victoria over there, and Brother Nicholas. That was my six children. And I'm thankful for them. Okay. Before I married Brother Conger, and you guys have heard me testify about this out in front a lot, in 1963, and that's the same year of August that Brother Stigmar came here for the first time, I don't remember even meeting him here. There was so much new. I traveled with him for 3 months before I married Brother Conger, and he said, "Almeda, we're going to go to Newark, Ohio. I've heard about this campground. It's a place where the white people still shout." I was like, "Ooh, that sounds pretty good." And I still remember, because we were in the old barn, and it was when it was up the hill here where dorm 18 is. I still remember how I felt when we went in there that night. And when the choir marched in and went up there in front, and they were all modestly dressed, because the church I've been affiliated with, they had let down on the standard. And see, since my dad still preached it, many, many times I felt like the odd person out. because I was living by the standard my dad preached, and you'd be with these other church people, and they weren't. I didn't want to change it, though. I thank God I didn't want to change it. When I saw that choir march in 1963, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. I was like, this is what I've looked for all my life. I traveled with my dad that fall, and then I married Brother Conger in December 1963. We lived in Nebraska for a year and a half while he was finishing college, and that wasn't a good spot either because that church there was very much compromised too. So that's what I want to tell you. If you've got a good church, you are so blessed. A place where the truth is preached, the pastor holds it up, the people live it. Because I'm going to tell you, it affects you. I remember being in this congregation, and I could see what everybody else was doing wrong, and I think, whoo, they're really letting down, they're not doing right. And all the time you're in that compromised stuff, it's affecting you. Yeah. I saw places I let down, and I let down, and I let down, and didn't know that till I came here. So I thank God for being true, and I thought it's God's purpose. It's His will for us all to be saved and come to the truth. That's His desire for every one of you. Every one of you. Some of your, what He wants you to do for your life might be different. But what he wants you to be saved and come to truth, that's for all of you. All right. So, of course, I kept telling Brother Conger how great it was here. And he didn't believe me, of course. But my mom, God, got my mom and dad moved here in 65. And he had to bring me home to visit my mom and dad. And it was a winter camp meeting, 1965. And as we were leaving, the Congress says, we're moving here. And this is Mr. Dyed in the rural staunch Nebraskan. He said, we're moving here. And praise God we did. We didn't get here. We moved here June 1st, 1966. That was one of the great, great, great days of my life, the day we moved here. That was one of them red letter days. I was pregnant with Sister Sherry when I moved here. Now, after we moved here, everything was not, you know, sometimes you say, oh, well, then everything's just okay, and everything went just great the rest of your life. Oh, no. We had financial hardships when we first moved here. Brother Conger went from job to job. I remember, here's what we'd spend on the groceries a week. $10. I remember buying that mush, frying it, and I can't remember if I made gravy or what. Those were, I told you I was old. But I'm going to tell you what, I lived through it. Here I am. I don't look too deprived. I don't look deprived from it. But God was always come through. And I remember one day, but I had struggles. I remember one day, I was so depressed because we didn't have any money, and we just had a baby, and that took money. And I remember I was in my bedroom. We lived on Greenfield Avenue over there. Those who know Newark, right? It's next to the Goodwill now, that first house on Greenfield Avenue. And it has awnings over the windows, or it did. And I was in that bedroom praying, and I saw a little robin in that awning, and God said to me, if I can take care of, or maybe it was a sparrow. He said, if I can take care of that bird, I can take care of you. And when God speaks to you, young people, the greatest thing in the ever is for you to have a relationship with God where He speaks to you. Yes. That is awesome. I love it. And you know, sometimes He probably would speak to us more if we just get quiet. He says, be still and know I'm God. But we got stuff playing, and we're looking at stuff, and we're talking. If we'll just be still, God has a lot He'd like to say to us. All right. So we had 6 children, as I've got the picture up there. We weren't rich, but God helped us stretch it, and I'm so thankful I didn't have to go to work. I am so thankful I was able to stay home with my children. And Brother Conger he believed in that before we moved to Newark. Brother Wilson preached that women need to stay home, take care of the children. But Brother Conger believed in it because he had a mother that worked. And I remember him telling me before we even got married, he said, you will never work out while we have children. He says, I'll work 2-3 jobs. You're staying home with the children. He didn't have to hear the message. He already saw it. Brother Conger and I sang together. Then we added the children with us. Now, my dad died in 1971 at an early age of 53. My mom lived with us for 8 years. You'll hear, especially you from Candy, you probably hear Brother Stegmar talk about Sister Faye Green a lot, because they adopted each other some way or another, so we became family. And I thought what a precious privilege it was to sit under Brother Wilson. None of you, unless you're older in here, got that privilege. He was a prophet of God. You could feel God off of him. You could feel God off of him. And I just grew so much during that time. 1987 was probably the hardest year of my life so far. Brother Wilson, our pastor, was sick. We were having trouble at church. And Brother Wilson died April 11th, 1987. I just could not believe God would let him die. I had prayed and prayed and prayed for him. I thought, this mighty God, mighty man of God, God's not going to let him die. We need him. I could not believe it when he died. And the day of the funeral, I remember another time when God spoke to me. I was so depressed when I got up that morning. And God said, am I dead? I said, no. He said, then come on, let's go for the Lord. I'm not dead. Yeah. 4 weeks later, from the day Brother Wilson died, Brother Conger died. 4 weeks of a brain aneurysm on May 8th. I had 5 children still at home. Sister Sherry was married. Brother Nick was 3. Sister Victoria was 7. Our next daughter up was 14. Andy was 16. Tammy was 18. And the devil, he likes to say things to you when you're in a hard place. He likes to he said, God really loves you, don't he? He took your husband and you still have children to raise. He really loves you. I said, you're not telling me this, that. I'm not believing that. I know God loves me. I don't understand why my husband had to die young, but I know God loves me. You're not going to feed me that lie. And I believed him. And God took care of us. The devil said, you're going to have to go to work. Then who's going to take care of your children? Who's going to train them right? God took care of it. I didn't have to go to work. I thank the Lord for that. Then the last of July that same year, as I say, what a rough year. I became choir director. And I remember when it was actually put in my lap, I thought, I cannot take one more thing. I'm going to lose my mind. I thought, and I think I felt like just going out in the backyard and screaming my head off. It's like, no, I can't do this. What? I'd never been choir director. Well, I'd helped with the youth choir way, way back, but I thought, I can't do this. And many, many times, I'd have to have Brother Decker pray for me before I go out there. Because, you know, I was afraid I'd go out in the choir and just go, in front of the choir loft. That would have really gone over good, wouldn't it? Like, no, keep yourself under control here. But God would calm me back down and help me. I just want to help you to see, life has difficulties, even if you're living for him. But if you'll stay with him, he'll help you. He will help you. He will not let you down. God helped me so much, so much. That was 1987. And then we had a split where people left. And I want to give some counsel there. Don't ever listen to any talk against your pastor. You hear that preached? It's like you need a fire alarm going off saying that. If you get an attitude toward the pastor, he can't feed you. And it's committing spiritual suicide. Because if you can't be fed, you'll die. Don't ever. If you're having a problem, go talk to the pastor. Go talk to him. But we have, you know, here's what happens. We don't like that submission. It's the same thing as a problem when we're a kid. Children, what's our scripture? Obey your parents. I want to see the hands of anybody in here that's never, ever had a problem obeying their parents. I didn't see any hands. I put mine up that I had trouble. I won't tell you about all my whippings. I won't tell you about all my whippings. All right. So we got to stay behind the pastor. And we've got to be, we must have submission. That's a key word for living for God. Because we can't have our way. If we're going to live for God, you can't have your way. Okay, when 1998, we had another split. And I thought I knew what was going on, but I wanted to hear it from God. And I can still remember the place right by my couch in my living room. And I said, God, I feel like I know what's going on here, but I want to hear from you. And he spoke so plainly. I'm telling you, young people, to hear from God is better than hearing from the president or anybody when you can hear from God. And he said, he brought the story of Solomon and the two women with both claiming the same alive baby. And God said, the church, the true mother, will never do anything to hurt the babies. The true church will do nothing to destroy the church. It's not about me having my way. It's about God having his way. We must stay behind the pastor. Don't be a part of anything or anyone that's working against the pastor. Somebody starts talking to you against the pastor, you say, I don't want to hear it. Get away from them and mark them as not to be around, because it's dangerous talk. It's suicidal talk spiritually. All right, in 1989, God was so good and gave me another husband. And most of you remember Brother Cummings. This just shows you how young Sister Victoria and Brother Nick were. And we'd been married maybe a couple years there. So he gave me another good husband, and he was such a good father to my children. See how good God is? He is so good. He's so good. His plan is perfect. And I could spend a whole session telling you how he brought that together, but I won't say that for another time. We had almost 30 years together, which I thank God for that. Now I'm in a different spot of my life where, and most of you know, in January, I had a heart attack, had to have a stent put in. And while I was there, then they found out I have cancer. So I'm in another trial. But you know what? The same God that has seen me through before, he's going to see me through again. Because he promised to never leave or forsake us. He doesn't tell us we won't ever have a hard place. But he does promise that he'll stay there with you. And if he's with you, you can make it through. So I'm proud of you young people. I love to hear you pray. And I love to hear you sing. Those are the kind of things that's going to help make you grow. Right. And my admonition would be, stay true to him. Yes. And you know what? If you fail, because you can fail. But if you get up one more time and you fall down, you're going to make it. Right. Make up your mind. I've had failures. I've had struggles about things. But I tell God, I can't live without you. And when, the other day I just said, devil, we're going to conquer.
Yes.
We're going to conquer. Yeah. We're going to conquer. We're not going to be destroyed here. And you can make it because of God. No, it doesn't depend on your strength. It don't depend on mine, because I've been pretty weak ever since I had the, I am doing better though. I thank God he's really helped me for this camp meeting, and I've been able to get back with the choir. But he can help us. He can help us. Sometimes we have to move out by faith. But I want to say to you, I recommend the Lord. Yeah. I recommend the Lord. He will be the best thing that's ever happened to you. I'm making a mess.
That's okay. Well, we definitely appreciated Sister Cummings' testimony, and there's, if you want to see the benefits of living for God, look at Sister Cummings, and you can see how it's been passed down to her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. It's just awesome to see, and it really pays to serve God. So, if you'd all stand with me.